feast of the Epiphany is kind of a bittersweet thing for me. I don't know how it is for you. We're getting very close to the end of the Christmas season. After the baptism of our Lord on Monday, we officially go back to ordinary time. But what a beautiful church we have had and have for the Christmas season. And it makes me a little sad to know it's going to be gone next week. But that's life. That's life. And it's so very, very beautiful. This church, Old St. Mary's and St. Clair's, it's wonderful. So it's a great joy. They even lit up all the candles in all the windows. And I hope that you're enjoying that because that's very, very special. This weekend in South Carolina is the Proudly Pro-Life Weekend. And so many from this church and many from throughout the diocese and our Protestant brothers and sisters were at a dinner at the Columbia Metropolitan Center on Friday evening. And we had a speaker, Seth Dillon from the Babylon Bee. Many of you know about that app and that ministry. He was wonderful. And then today we had a march and a rally at the Capitol. So it was absolutely wonderful. And it's a great joy to be with people from our parish and from around the diocese, other priests and other pastors, other men and women of goodwill who are working and praying and praying and working for the sanctity of life from conception all the way through natural death. It was an absolutely wonderful rally. We had like 2.5 tables at the dinner on Friday night, and so next year I hope we can have at least 4. But God's kingdom, the church, extends through all time and space. The Bible shows this in the prophecies that speak of worshipers coming to pay homage to God from faraway places, and you heard them in the first reading. Sheba, Midian, Ephah, Tarshish, Arabia, from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. These references point literally to every direction on the compass. St. Paul groups these peoples, of course, under the term Gentiles. He calls them co-heirs of salvation together with the Jews, the chosen people, from whom the first members and leaders of the church were taken, including Jesus himself, Mary, and Joseph. So Christ's kingdom, by including both Jews and Gentiles, implicitly includes every corner of the globe, wherever human beings live. The universal kingdom also extends to all times. St. Paul makes this connection. He says that he has been given the task of revealing the mystery of salvation in full. Before him, it had been partially revealed to the chosen people of Israel, which traces its origin to Adam itself. In that sense, then, Christ's kingdom reaches back through the whole history of humanity. Now, through Epiphany, the mystery of the kingdom is being fully revealed both to Jews and to all nations. This implicitly includes not just the civilizations that St. Paul knew about, but every civilization and culture that has existed or will exist. Christ's kingdom then links the very start of the human story with its final conclusion. Christ, as the book of Revelation puts it, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The coming of these magi who represent the Gentile nations teaches us that God's kingdom, this church that you and I are a part of, extends through all time and all space. You and I are citizens of the world's only universal kingdom. Pope St. John Paul II wrote, "The Redeemer of man, Jesus Christ, is the center of the universe and of history," unquote. This is one of the things that Satan dislikes and hates about the church, the Catholic Church. No matter how much damage he causes it, whether by stirring up corruption on the inside of the church or persecution from the outside, the church continues to survive and thrive. One of the least known attempts to stamp out the Catholic Church occurred in Mexico in the 1920s and the 1930s. In 1917, a revolutionary Mexico adopted the world's first socialist constitution, and the maniacal president began his ruthless effort to monopolize all power into his government's hands. that led to mass executions of his personal enemies, but also to extreme measures against the Catholic Church, since the majority of Mexicans were Catholic. Churches were destroyed, desecrated, confiscated, and turned into army barracks. Religious items were profaned by soldiers getting drunk from chalices, chopping up statues for firewood, and using religious art for target practice. Orders of priests and nuns were outlawed, and teaching about religion was prohibited. Hard to believe, but less than a little over 100 years ago, that occurred in the nation to our south. At one point, all of the bishops in the country were sent into exile. Priests were imprisoned, harassed, driven out, forced into hiding, and executed. An excellent movie chronicling this difficult time in Mexican history is For Greater Glory, the True Side of the Cristiada. One of the most famous priests during this time was the Jesuit priest, Father Miguel Pro. Educated and ordained in Europe, he returned to his homeland in 1926, defying and outsmarting the authorities for an entire year before he was caught and shot by a firing squad. The government invited the press to his execution, hoping to film the young priest begging for mercy at the last minute, and then use the media coverage to discourage his supporters. But instead, the photographers and reporters saw the saint walk out bravely, asking only to be allowed to pray before dying. After a few minutes, he stood up, extended his arms in the form of a cross, and with a steady, calm voice, pronounced his last words, "Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King." A layman, Blessed Anacleto Flores, was repeatedly tortured to reveal the whereabouts of his bishop, but he gave no information. And then without trial, he too was led before a firing squad. His last words were, "I die, but God does not die." And that's what the Magi are reminding us of today. Christ's kingdom, the church, is an everlasting universal kingdom, and we are its citizens. How much peace of mind and soul that this should give us. As Christ's brothers and sisters, we are plugged into a kingdom that will never come to an end, just as we pray in the Creed every week. As long as our commitment to Christ is healthy and strong, despite the confusion and disarray that surrounds us, our lives have a meaning that no one can take away. They have a meaning that can transform the world around us. They have a meaning that can give us fulfillment, dynamism, and a sense of purpose that we long for. The difference between a mediocre Christian and a saint, a Christian who experiences fully all those benefits of citizenship in Christ's kingdom, is not that great. The mediocre Christian believes in Christ's kingdom, as all of us do, otherwise we wouldn't be here this evening. But the saint, the mature Christian, lives in full accordance with that belief. If only Christ's kingdom lasts forever, then our first priority in life should be, like the Magi, to serve that kingdom with our personal gold, our personal frankincense, and our personal myrrh. To offer God our talents and efforts, the gold. Have you thought about serving here as an usher, a catechist, substitute teacher for religious education effort? We have an urgent need for choir members, particularly at this moment, for catechists and for other volunteers. It's critical that all of you pray about taking ownership of the primary mass that you attend. Take ownership, call it your mass, step up and serve. Our priority should be to offer our prayers and worship. That's the frankincense. Are you making faithful attendance at Mass a central priority of your life? In this new year, 2024, will you commit to attending daily Mass at least once a week? God will bless you if you do that. Will you commit to an hour of adoration of our Lord each week? If not, will you make an honest effort to come to adoration when you can? We should offer our sufferings and sorrows the myrrh. Are you offering up your trials to our Lord as part of his sacrifice for us? Are you offering to help and pray for those you know who are suffering trials of illness and family distress? Which of these sectors of our lives need to be reoffered to Christ? Which needs to be laid at the feet of the baby Jesus as the Magi left their gifts? In our heart, we know because the Holy Spirit is telling us. He doesn't want us to be mediocre. He wants us to experience the lasting peace and joy of Christian maturity, the same joy that the Magi experienced when they saw the star and followed it. Tonight, when we receive our Lord again in Holy Communion, may we lay at his feet whatever will please him most, that for which he is asking. Now, I have to say, I've never been much into New Year's resolutions. Most of them are broken within the first few weeks of the new year, and I personally have never been good at keeping them. But more importantly, our life in Christ is an incremental one. We are either growing more and more like Christ, or we are drifting away. Our Lord, speaking to us in the book of Revelation, said, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." That's from Revelation 3, 15 to 16. With the help of his grace, may we commit to grow in Christ, to be vibrant, committed disciples of the Lord.